In the segments we're going to present today, it forms more or less a comprehensive whole of philosophy as much as news. And some of it's a compilation of the news that leads to a philosophical interpretation, and that's probably a better way to express it. And we're going to hit it here today, and I think you need to know what's at stake. First, we're going to start with the fact. What I've been told, what others have been told, and lists that are being published, and I think it's a common sense outgrowth, even if there weren't any authoritative sources that say they know something. Who's in danger with the craziness that's going on? The murder of Charlie is a wake-up call for many of us. And I, too, have been forced to consider my own morality. You say, Dave, what do you mean by that? It's really simple. I'm going to explain it to you after we come back from the break. There's one product out there that I wish I could get everybody in America on. It was brought to me by Scotty Sachs, and there's cousin products, too, from the same company that do wonderful things that I use. But the one thing that can make the biggest difference in your life, the one thing that contains the polycosinol, the one thing that harnesses the immune system to optimal levels, where most of the things in our environment are working to degrade the immune system. And it's this right here. It's the Nanosoma liquid spray. I had my own experience with it when I was on a downward path with negative prognosis with strip lung linings. This brought me back when the experts were saying nothing would. But it's not just tied to that. It's tied to a lot of things. This is restorative. It's preventative. It's affordable. And it's available right now. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. And given what we're potentially going to go through, a nation that sits on the brink of four potential wars, we have domestic insurrection off the charts, and I think it's only going to get worse. You better be the best version of yourself. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. It is dangerous to do what I do. No, I'm not asking for platitudes. I'm not asking for awards. I'm not even asking for recognition. I am simply a conveyor of what I believe to be the truth because I give a darn what happens to our next generation. What I leave behind, I feel I'm going to be measured for. I want the Lord to look at me and say, good job, true and faithful servant. I know I'm going to fall short. I already have. I will continue to because I am mortal. I am imperfect. But I've considered my mortality in the situation with Charlie, and I've more or less find myself adopting some common sense protections that I didn't even consider before. When I started in this business and I had just defeated the evil forces of John McCain and the Central American Free Trade Agreement people trying to steal my property and that of 300 of my neighbors, I thought, well, gosh, what we did worked here. Maybe we can apply this to other problematic areas in our country. And to some degree, we've had a measure of success. It's not sweeping success, or I wouldn't be here talking to you today. I would love to do nothing more than to go back into college coaching, teaching my psychology classes. That's what I love to do. And right now, I don't get to do any of that because I'm doing this. There is a mortal risk for what we do. Now, on the social media platform, I'm no threat to anybody. I'm not a big enough player, not on social media. But on our podcasts and radio shows, Katie bar the door because it puts me right in the center of the crosshairs. We are ranked, and you go look it up, Listen Notes ranks 3.6 million podcasts worldwide. We are in the up one half of 1%. Not bragging. I'm saying that puts you into both a good position because you're reaching a lot of people with what you think is the truth and trying to be an emissary of the Lord Jesus Christ. But on the other hand, it puts you in grave danger. And if you look at what happened with Christ, you look at what happens with freedom marchers like John Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and now Charlie Kirk. It's a dangerous place to be. And when you step into this arena, which some of you are doing, you're tiptoeing it either as a supporter or now we're getting new participants. And I welcome that. Dave, aren't you afraid your ratings are going down? That's not why I'm doing this. That is not why I'm doing it. But there is a risk. People that bring you biblical prophecy, people that connect the dots in the name of preserving freedom against oligarchs that would enslave you, that puts you in a very dangerous position. We're going to get into some details in other segments. As I said, this is both factual and it's philosophical. I know that Candace and I know that Tucker have addressed this directly and indirectly, that they're targeted. And they're right. I talked to someone yesterday who I used to broadcast with, a person that I may be doing some future work with. He agrees with me 100%. But what he doesn't know, and what I didn't tell him, what I'm revealing here, is I have started connecting the dots on things I'm being told by trusted authoritative sources. And when everyone's saying pretty much the same thing with the same names, you need to pay attention. If Charlie Kirk was silenced, and why was he silenced? He was changing people's minds about what America needed. Healthy debate, no censorship, government involvement by the young, working towards your best interest through the political process. And that's not what people want who are in control. A lot of them want to control you, and freedom of expression exposes their agenda, which is not in your best interest. And this is in part what made Charlie a target. Well, it's not the whole thing. There's details I'm not leaving out that I've already covered. But I think there's people who are in danger today, and I want to talk about them briefly, and then I want to bring them back home to you. I think number one on the list is Tucker. Did you see his interview with Ted Cruz? Ted, if you don't want people to talk about you, stop taking money from AIPAC. No foreign government should be allowed to lobby members of either house, the president, a state house, ever. And we can't control that with private industry. We can't do that, but we can control taking money from foreign entities. And this is what Ted Cruz has done. And Tucker exposed it. And I'll tell you, Tucker stepped up right in the middle. He became as much a target as Charlie with that one interview, but he's done a whole lot more. Then there's Candace. Candace has been accused of being a Zionist. You're so pro-Israel, Candace, you can't even see straight. You probably sleep in the Israeli flag. This is what I've heard people say about her. I think certainly it's unwarranted. She does have a pretty high degree of objectivity. None of us are completely objective because we're human. But I thought she had a pretty high degree of objectivity. But now, because she's looking at the Charlie Kirk situation, and she has observations and questions, she's now anti-Semitic. Isn't that interesting? See, you get labeled, you get targeted, and then the worst can happen. Candace Owens certainly is on my list. I'd probably put her two and put Megan three, Tucker number one. But Candace, she told us first, above all else, who Charlie was in conflict with over the control of TPUSA. You think Charlie was totally in control? No. We're owned by the money that owns us. And Charlie was trying to free himself from that. And that's become abundantly clear. This is not facts in dispute. This is multiple people, including insiders at TPUSA. And Candace was the first to really elucidate that. She also blew up the narrative of lone nut assassin turning himself in and confessing and is suicidal. She blew that narrative up. She's stepped into it, and I think she knows. Her husband is a powerful person, strong person. I don't know him, but I have friends that know him and Candace well. I think he provides a measure of protection. I hope so. Pray for these people. Joe Rogan has totally said, he's been so clear and he's so blunt. If you want to know what Joe Rogan thinks, shut up and listen for 30 seconds because he doesn't play games with his words. He has said the entire narrative of the lone nut assassin is total BS. and I'm cleaning up the language for a family show. And Joe is absolutely right. Everything he has observed with regard to crime scene preservation, to the narrative that's not believable, the usurpation of local authorities to basically have jurisdiction over a crime scene that's state crime scene, not federal. Yeah, Joe's got it. Alex Jones, same kind of comments. Alex says he's coming out with more this week. I can't wait and see what Alex has to say, but he's gotten the tap on the shoulder. He's got the word. And then there's Benny. Yeah. One thing I'd say about Benny, I don't think there's anyone more dangerous to the dark side, demonism, than someone like Benny, who's been on the dark side, has come out of it, sees the light, and is a fervent supporter of the truth, justice, and Jesus. And that's Benny. And right there, that puts him in the negative light of the forces and the nature of the forces who did this to Charlie and who are doing things to us. Also, I think In Jeopardy is really almost the lone star at the opposition network we call Fox News. Oh, Fox gives you about 80% truth. And then here comes the disinfo tablets, and it's more of sins of omission, not commission. It's what they don't tell you at Fox that you have to come here to learn about. Gutfeld's going to get fired from Fox one day. He's going down the path of Tucker. That's a fact. Then there's Elon Musk, who doesn't give a crap what anybody says about him. He may be the most independent thinking person on planet Earth. You know, there's an old saying that if you want to be successful in life, you have to be free of the independent opinion of other people of you. You just can't care what they think. Oh, okay, that's nice. I'm sorry you feel that way. All right, my fault. Don't mean to. And you just go about your business. You just go about your business. And Elon didn't go to cat philosophy school. You know, what's that? Well, there's a story of the two cats. One cat said to someone, "I went to cat philosophy school. I learned everything there is to learn. I have the right way of thinking. I don't get out of line. And look at the nice life that I live." Then there was the back alley cat. And he said, "Now, I didn't go to cat philosophy school. I didn't learn all the things I was supposed to learn and believe. I just go about my business as I see fit. And my tail follows me wherever I go." Where the cat philosophy school cat, he chases his tail. Which one are you? Elon Musk is the back alley cat who, wherever he goes, his tail follows him. He doesn't care about cat philosophy school. He doesn't care about the WEF, the trilaterals, and all the rest of them. He doesn't care. And this is why he is the most successful person to say middle finger to the global establishment. You gotta wonder why he's not number one on the list. Above and beyond Charlie. Well, I can tell you why. Charlie was number one on the list because the future of control of this planet, the future of control of people's psychology and ideology and ultimate political affiliation lies with Gen Z. This is what Charlie was winning. He was winning that war, and that can't be won. And I'm going to say this as a side byproduct. I had lunch yesterday with an old friend of mine. Our relationship started in basketball coaching, and I've watched his kids grow up to be fine young men. And he had one of his sons with him as we met for lunch. And we were talking about some of the politics. And his son spoke up and he said, "My generation doesn't trust anything Israel does now." I thought, whoa, boy, that's a pretty strong statement from a young guy in his 20s. That's what Charlie was winning. And a lot of people believe that's why he's gone. Can I prove that in a court of law? No, I can prove it in the court of common sense and connecting the dots. But nonetheless, There's a price to be paid to enter this arena. But if you run from the potential violence of cowards who would control you, they will one day come to get you. Pick up a history book. Stalin, Mao, Hitler. They'll be coming to get you. And that process started 4.5 years ago in earnest with various events and draconian enforcement and the labeling and ostracizing and declaring you to be a traitor if you dared basically to endorse freedom and justice and the Constitution. When you become a Christian, it doesn't get easier. Well, it does and it doesn't. You can live with yourself. But on the other side of the coin, the Bible is very clear. When you become a Christian, there are challenges. Charlie was a Christian, and that's one of the reasons he's no longer here. But it's also one of the reasons he's up there with the Father. This is a fight. This is a fight that we can't run from. If you cower in the corner and do nothing, they're still coming for you. And it reminds me of the movie Network. And for you younger people that didn't see this 1976 classic with Howard Beale and the UBS network. Oh, how funny is that? UBS, yeah, the UBS network. Trying to control everything, control the image, control the message, lie on the behalf of benefactors, which is basically a message for the mainstream media. The fake media, the fake news media, as Donald Trump Jr. calls it. And I look at this movie. This is the one where the phrase said, "I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." Howard Beale was this appearingly eccentric newscaster who really was on target. And he was exposing conspiracy after conspiracy and being proven right. And at the end, he was martyred on his own show. But he had a profound effect. And I got to tell you, there's a parallel here between the mythical Howard Beale. This is one of the best shows ever, people. The 1976 Network. Go watch it. Because you'll say, oh my gosh, we're living this in 2025. Almost 50 years later, we're living this right now. But Howard Beale said, okay, we've learned this. And here's what he also said. I know you just want to be left alone. You don't know what to do about the Russians, quote. You don't know what to do about inflation, quote, or government corruption, quote. But this is 50 years ago when they wrote the script. And it applies more today than it did then. And he started going down. He goes, and I know you just want to be left alone, hoping they'll leave you alone. I won't say anything. Just let me have my steel-belted radios, and I'll hide in the corner. You can just pass right over me, and I won't say a word, I promise. And just leave me alone. And Howard said, I'm not going to leave you alone. And he started down all the things that are wrong, and that's where the line came from. Right now, I want you to step to the window, open it, stick your head out, and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And in the movie, they show all across the nation, all of America's sticking their heads out windows and yelling, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. This was awesome. I was affected by the movie as a young adult. And I understood the basic message, but I didn't understand it as profoundly as I do now. And for Howard doing that, waking America up in this movie, as I said, he was martyred on his own show in the same way that Charlie Kirk was martyred at one of his events. There is a price to pay, but I'm going to tell you the truth here. There's nowhere that you can hide. There's nowhere you can run to. We're going to talk about in a later segment why globalism is so dangerous, because they're setting it up to where you'll have no options. You either conform, and if you're lucky, you may survive for a while. And if you're not, true intentions have already been revealed. The choice is yours. I will tell you this, I wouldn't go into this battle without putting on the armor of God and realizing I might end up like Christ, but the nice news is I'll end up with Christ. On the other side of the coin, a coward dies a thousand deaths, as Shakespeare said. A brave person only dies once. You have a choice. Yesterday, I talked about a men's revival at my church in Phoenix, Christ Church of the Valley. 17 campuses, expertly led by a team of pastors who I have the ultimate respect for. They are men of God, and they cannot be compromised. And our church responded. Every campus was filled to the brim with men after a long day's work on a Thursday night, listening to what our responsibility as men is in the eyes of the Lord. What does he expect from us? Not to run from the controversy, to stand in the gap, proclaim the gospel, and stand for what's right, and be a man. This is what I echo to you right now. But I don't think it just has to be men that stand in the gap, although men are the head of the family. Men lead society. There are strong women that come in and also do the same things. So I don't think it's exclusive to men. And it was interesting they did a men's event, and I'm waiting to hear some of the flashback here. Oh, look at these misogynist people at this church. Oh, they're leading America astray. I can hear the propaganda right now. You have a choice, America. Get involved. Get your children involved. And I'm talking about age of decision, get involvement. Invest in your kids. And I'm going to say this very bluntly. Charlie's turning point, and I said this yesterday. Charlie's work is done. He's with the Lord. Turning point is no longer needed. I believe they've been compromised, and I'm not even walking into controversy here. That's my perception. But we don't need turning point. We don't need the direction it wants to go, affecting young people to accept a foreign policy not in our best interest. But we don't need that. Parents and grandparents, hear me clearly. What is needed in this country for the young adults, the Gen Z, is Jesus. And this is what Charlie brought. But we don't need Charlie for that anymore. We don't need anybody for that anymore. Teach your children the ways of the Lord. Dust off the Bible. Learn something. This is how we free ourselves from oppression and basically mind enslavement. Freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Do you think I chose that phrase? Just pull something out of thin air because it sounded good? Yes, I came up with this. It's copyrighted right here behind me. This is copyrighted. But the reality is this, is the thinking is universal. We need to free America one enslaved mind at a time, and there's only one way to do it. Jesus is the antidote for everything that we have, and the people that killed Charlie hate Jesus. I've put it all out for you in multiple dimensions now, and I look at Tucker, Candace, Megan, Joe, Alex, Benny, Gutfeld, Elon, some of my colleagues like Doug Thornton, Paul Preston. I look at these people, they're brave. They're willing to take the risk. Are you? Collectively, we cannot be defeated. It's only if we do what Howard Beale was concerned about in that movie. Only then, when we cower, I won't say anything. I'm too afraid to speak. They'll take my job. They might put me in jail for what I say. All I gotta say is grow a pair and be a man and help your children deal with the things that they're going to be confronted with. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, because we're getting absolutely zero help on the algorithm. We're getting actually negative reports now that I put my concerns out. I'm not going to complain about it. It is what it is. Please share far and wide. That's how we handle this. And if you're on social media not subscribed, I'd ask you do so. We are going to take a look at BlackRock, Larry Fink, and the World Economic Forum. Not going to be a long report, but it's going to set the stage for investigation I'm doing right now and what's coming. We are brought to you by Chuck Norris in the Chuck Defense. You seen this guy? He's in his 80s and he looks like he's in his 50s. And as you know, he was a world champion kickboxer, TV star, movie star. Too bad he's not in politics. But anyway, he is one of the most impressive people that's out there right now. And what he has found is something very, very, very concerning. He says, one of the keys to my success and how I look and how I function is avoiding three critical foods. And he goes through and says, okay, these foods cause digestive problems, energy problems. And he goes, you want to clean this up? You got to get the three foods out. So what he does is he's made a video and it's going viral. You can see the video for free. Go to chuckdefense.com/Dave. Now, if you're on social media, you'll already see this in the description box. That's chuckdefense.com/Dave. I want to go over now to an article I have prepared, and it's going to publication. This video will accompany it. And I'm hoping to really get this to draw traction because I am highly concerned. Now, something I did not put in this particular part, and this is going to be a multi-part series, something I did not put in there was the fact that BlackRock, in my humble opinion, is an illegal entity. Now, not that they're doing anything wrong, but they're illegal because they violate the antitrust laws. BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, they're all intertwined, folks. They're all intertwined. And let me just share this thought with you. They make up 93% of all asset management in the United States. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're there for every major business deal. They're there for every natural disaster. The money that changes hands there with the aid. They're there for everything. Defense contracting, public projects. They have way too much power. And it is an illegal monopoly. They outpace Standard Oil when the government tried to break up Standard Oil's monopoly by creating the Sherman Antitrust Act and the Clayton Antitrust Act. Well, here they are, way above that. Why won't someone deal with them? I suppose if they got mad enough, they could collapse the economy. I'm not saying they would. I don't think they would, because that wouldn't be in their best interest. But they have that kind of power. So let me run through some things here that concern me with the appointment of Larry Fink to the World Economic Forum. And this is not a hit piece. He's allowed to have whatever view he wants. Capitalist, communist, control, humanitarian, authoritarian, insensitive. He can be anything he wants, as long as he's not violating my rights, and as long as he's not posing harm or a danger. Later, I'll leave it to you whether or not he's violating any of those precepts. Now, he is the co-chair of the World Economic Forum. So I wanted to take a look at the interrelationship between the appointment of Larry Fink and some of his stated political positions identified, okay, by the following. The WEF has expressed, to my satisfaction, the desire to eliminate private property in the present form. They want to eliminate freedom of expression. They have said at WEF meetings, we played these videos that are publicly available. Some have been in TED Talks, that the notion of free will is a bygone. It's gone. It's over. And they've also besmirched freedom of religion in the comments of Harari, the right-hand man to Klaus Schwab, the former CEO of that. Now, I'm going to read to you here the WEF's response to this, because I want to be fair, have some integrity, give you both sides. Historian Yuval Noah Harari, during a May 2023 interview with Pedro Pinto, said that AI has the capability to generate entirely new ideas, even to write a new Bible, as a way to illustrate AI's profound potential. We went nuts in the Christian community. The WEF walked back that comment through minimization, and they stated, and I quote, "He did not advocate that AI should rewrite the Bible, nor did he frame it as desirable." Okay, I used to teach body language. I would consider myself to be very knowledgeable in this area. He certainly wasn't presenting it with hesitation. There seemed to be an element of satisfaction that accompanied that comment. That's how I read it. Body language wasn't closed. It was open, seemed to be embracing the idea. That was my take. Now, I reported what the WEF said. I'll let that stand. I would suggest you go find the comment, do some research, and judge for yourself. Okay, now, the WEF goes on to say, Harari has spoken at WEF events constantly. He is not an official of the forum, okay? But he is the right-hand man to Klaus Schwab. And he's a Klaus Schwab employee, or was, and Schwab employed him to do things with the WEF. So you want to split hairs, World Economic Forum, that's fine. And you can say he doesn't officially speak for us, but he sure as heck spoke for Klaus Schwab, your CEO, while he was speaking. So you have to decide how technical you want to be on this. Now, they said because it's not official and the remarks were not endorsed or made by the WEF, okay, we shouldn't consider this to be a concern. I'm concerned. It's my opinion, but I'm concerned. In the interest of journalistic integrity, I include WEF's denial through minimization. It's going to be in the written article. I'm professing it right here. I think the WEF would agree I'm being fair, and maybe they don't agree I should have my own opinion, but I do. I saw the interview, folks. Okay, now moving on. Engagement of BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, and the WEF programs. Now, why did I put State Street and Vanguard in there? Because they're intertwined with BlackRock. I'll break that relationship down in a later part, but they're interlocked in many different ways. Okay, now I'm going to quote you from the World Economic Forum. BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street engage with the World Economic Forum primarily through its sustainability, ESG, environmental, social, and governance policies, and stakeholder capitalism initiatives. I don't view them as capitalists. Say though, I totally disagree with that characterization, because either they want the power given to them by government, or they want government to enact their power. Okay, that's socialism by any definition. Continuing, BlackRock has been the most active with the WEF. CEO Larry Fink frequently used WEF platforms such as the annual Davos meetings to advocate for sustainable investing and the integration of ESG factors into global capital markets. Let me put this into English, okay? The right likes to categorize this as woke. I'm going to be technically correct here. Not going to use euphemisms or slang language, but let's just take the case of, well, who just changed their image? Cracker Barrel. What did they do? They took the dusty old white man out of the picture and it's blank. They have the right to do that. And you know what? I'm not offended. But there are a lot of people that are, and they lost $100 million at Cracker Barrel on the first day they did this. People are maybe oversensitive to what they consider to be woke policies. Personally, I don't care. But the public has spoken. They do care. And this is an example I'm talking about, ESG. Environmental. So you got to be environmentally friendly. That's tied into climate change. That's a position they certainly are allowed to have. And I would never argue with the validity of their positions in that area. It's their choice. Social and government. This is where I have a problem. They think they have the right to set social norms and punish businesses that don't go along with their edicts about how they should manage employees, what political positions they should take. And they absolutely have used their position to influence whether corporations get loans based on their ESG scores. No business has the business to tell another business what you can and cannot believe politically and socially. You're entitled to your opinion. As long as you're not advocating for active discrimination and bringing harm to individuals and there's no implied threats, you're allowed to have whatever position you want. But wait a minute. That's the U.S. Constitution. That has nothing to do with the WEF. But my concern is WEF policies made their way into the Biden administration fairly extensively. And I'm going to do a piece on that. So to say that the WEF is over here in the U.S. and its republic form of government as determined by the Constitution's over there and the twain shall never meet, that is not true. And Larry Fink, having an American-based multinational corporation called BlackRock, is right there the linchpin link between the U.S. and Europe. And he does come from an extremely powerful position since the three companies intertwined under Fink's leadership are comprising 93% of all asset management in the United States. I believe it's 75% in the world. In fact, I'm quite sure that that's true. Okay, now the other part in their ESG is government. When government can dictate to business, you got a couple of things going on there. And we're getting right into technical definitions that you get in any economics textbook or any American government textbook. This is not controversial, what I'm going to say. I know I've taught both subjects in high school, and they're very, very clear on this point. Thomas Jefferson was adamant. He was probably the most pro-capitalist president we ever had. He actually got us into a war because he wouldn't slow down the capitalist endeavors of manufacturers of weapons supplying both sides. And that got us in the War of 1812. But what we're looking at when corporations can control government positions, that's fascism. That's what Trump is accused of doing. It's also socialism. But I also live in the real world. And what you're looking at here in a country like ours, where the business is huge and the government is strong, you're going to have overlaps. And this is definitely what we're seeing. The question that we have to ask ourselves, are these overlaps good or bad for the American people? That's a really important question. Now, I don't believe business gives a damn about the average person. Their job is to answer to their stockholders and make a profit for the next quarter. That's their vision. And they manage in 3-month increments because of that. They do, in many cases, give to charity events, but they're also laden with tax breaks. And one has to legitimately ask, would they be donating to humanity if they couldn't write it off their bottom line and pay less tax? And this is something that's been hotly debated. This is why I favor a flat tax with no deductions. But that's another topic for another time. Now, BlackRock has been the most active with the WEF. They've been an advocate for sustainable investing. They have the right to do that. Gavin Newsom and the California legislature, prime example, new home construction must have solar panels. It doesn't violate any constitutional rights. It certainly puts a burden on the contractor and it puts a burden on the home buyer. But I'm just saying it's a legitimate legal position. And this is the kind of thing that BlackRock advocates for. They also collaborate with the WEF on initiatives related to climate transition. And I just gave an example, so I won't stay on this point. Both firms contribute, and that would be the WEF, State Street, Vanguard. All firms of like these three contribute to the forum's Future of Capital Markets and Global Risk reports, which shapes dialogue on financial regulation. Are we going to revalue gold? They think they're going to have a say. I don't think they're going to tell Trump what to do on this, but they are telling the Europeans what to do. And the Europeans have many of their EU leaders from the Bank of International Settlement and the ECB. They are part of the WEF. So this is an enormous influence that Larry Fink has with BlackRock and these other colleagues in shaping global financial policy. And one would argue we're entering into the territory of an oligarchy where these people supersede national governments because they have international agreements. That was the fear that Teddy Roosevelt had with the rise of multinational corporations in the early 20th century. These partnerships, these firms are BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, they are not managers of WEF assets. Now, I want to be really clear on that point because some people have said that out there publicly and they are incorrect. What is correct is they do manage some of the assets of companies that manage the WEF assets. Subsidiary holdings, I'm not sure. But what I can be sure of is they certainly have a stake in the financial well-being and direction of the WEF, and they play an integral role. And for the WEF to say, oh, they don't have much influence, come on, really? No one believes that. The World Bank comes into play through such groups as the International Finance Corporation, where BlackRock is involved. The World Bank, BlackRock. See, to me, this sets up global digitalization. I'll talk about this in future. One global ID, one global currency, okay, CBDC. It sets the possibility. The SWIFT system, the FAST system, stablecoin, all goes into this type of thing. Now, it might be perfectly benevolent. I'll leave it to you to decide if we have anything to worry about. Further investigations into these alliances will be forthcoming. Now, did you hear a word about conspiracy? No. No, we're talking about existing relationships and overlapping of interests and expressed policies. I just want to be really clear. The WEF, and they're not obligated to, does not embrace or endorse or support the first 10 amendments to the U.S. Constitution, such as freedom of speech, which includes freedom of religion, the right to own guns. In fact, they link into the United Nations, and the United Nations has been clear. Nobody should have a gun except the UN and their designated armies. And then, of course, we have the Fourth Amendment, search and seizure. Doesn't address it. Due process. No, we're the law. We say what it is. You get the idea. You get the idea here. You get to decide. I'll be back with more at a future date. But the appointment of Larry Fink, I think, cannot be understated with his potential role at Davos when they meet and what he's going to bring back to BlackRock and the influence they have on our government. Tomorrow, I'm also going to talk about Palantir. Oh, they're part of this equation too. And when you hear some of the data about Palantir, you're going to say, I had no idea they were this powerful. They are extremely powerful, and they're in league in many areas with BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. You should not be surprised. In fact, I'll leave you with this statistic. We have heard repeatedly that 1% of the population controls 30% of the wealth. Tomorrow, when we cover Palantir, you're going to begin to see how that is possible in a microcosm. Thank you for joining us. Hey, don't forget to check out our great interviews we have over on the commonsenseshow.tv. Mentioned Sam Arnold earlier today, our Latin American expert. Sheriff Mack will be up there by the end of the day. We had a great interview with Sheriff Mack, and he believes, actually, when we come down to this globalization, international, blah, 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 how much national sovereignty our nation's going to have left, he believes the sheriffs are the final line of defense. And we went into that quite quite extensively in that interview. So you're going to want to check that out. TheCommonSenseShow.tv. Thanks for joining us. It's time for the gloves to come off. Hey, no, I'm over here, right here, to the right. You can feast your eyes while I introduce. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show, where the show freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We're brought to you by the one product that can boost your immune system to unbelievable levels. You've heard my testimony many times. It's restorative, it's preventative, and it works. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, we can see here, and I'm going to read you the caption and then continue. Portland police ordered not to interfere with Antifa. Yeah, let's support those communist agitators, but instead investigate federal employees. The Portland Police Department, under orders from the mayor and city council, have been told not to intervene in protests, but instead to monitor, document, and investigate federal officers for potential state prosecution. Whenever federal officers confront Antifa, Portland police ask Antifa members to provide them with videos of the encounter. Okay, does that include members of the press, you communist rulers of Portland? Does it? Well, Nick Sorter was a journalist. He's simply documenting the action, not taking sides, just taking pictures, commenting. And people walk up to him, surround him. They start punching him. He gets away. He goes and stands by 7 or 8 police officers in Portland who are worthless. They did nothing to help him, and they could see what was going on. But he hoped to get a measure of protection by standing by the police. He's there for 7 to 8 minutes. This is documented on Fox News. And then the order comes, cuff him. What? The police were confused. They didn't know why they should cuff him, but they did. And they said, well, what do we charge him with? Well, we'll get to that later. He's asking, what am I under arrest for? We don't know. You're just under arrest. They put him in the patrol car. He's continuing to ask, I want to know what the charges are. You have to tell me what the charges are before you arrest me. They pull over so he can't hear and get out of the car. And they talk to their lieutenant. And the lieutenant said, charge him with disorderly conduct. Standing next to the police after escaping an assault is disorderly conduct? Well, according to the Nazis that run Portland, yes. So he goes in there. Now, it's interesting. Nick tells this story, says there were 3 people in the jail the entire night. 2 Antifa and me. With all that we see that's going on. With all that we see that's going on in Portland. But yet, the Antifa people are said, videotape this so we can prosecute the people making arrests for endangering federal officials, endangering federal property, throwing firebombs. Well, one lady the night before was attacked with a pole, and the police stood there and watched and did nothing. Okay, now, complaining for complaining's sake does nothing. It's time now to get down to the inescapable conclusion about what should happen. Number one, President Trump, please declare martial law. Now it is time to send in the regular military. When reporters and harmless people walking to and from work or home to shop, whatever, and they're attacked with lethal weapons in front of the police and they do nothing, those police are delegitimized. They should be declared to be decertified and taken out of the picture and all of them dismissed. You go, well, all of them didn't do it. Well, I don't care. It's the organization that did it. And then we need to see what charges we can arrest the mayor and the city council on. Pretty simple, isn't it? It's time for martial law in Portland. Arresting a reporter for standing next to the police for protection. He didn't say anything. We have that on video. Now, this woman was attacking police. She's being taken away in a restrained but nonviolent manner. But the police want to, the Portland police want video from Antifa. And we know we can doctor videos. This is the worst of Stalin, Hitler, Mao. This is how it starts, people. This is how this crap starts. You can go down to mass terrorism and extreme violence, or you can even progress all the way to civil war. This is how it starts. It needs to be nipped in the bud. You do not have a constitutional right to attack federal officers. But more importantly, when you have the depraved indifference of the Portland Police Department and its city officials that are actually, through their actions, encouraging attacks on innocent people as well as federal officials, it's time that martial law get declared with legal consequences to follow. It's all in the law. It's not extreme. I'm not calling for anyone to be hurt, but the people of Portland deserve protection. The federal facilities deserve protection, and the federal officials protecting them deserve protection, and the reporters innocently covering the events deserve protection. And when a community does not fulfill their legal obligation, they need to be decertified and dealt with. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. President Trump, I know you have a manpower problem. I know you have a judicial problem. I volunteer my services for your manpower problem, and so will millions of Americans nationwide as we cover the latest abuse of federal officials, law enforcement officials at the hands of the illegal, illegitimate, and criminal left. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We are brought to you by Noble Gold. Leave your money in the bank. Take all risks. You have no protections. You're number two. You're a secondary creditor. Dodd-Frank 2010 UCC Section 8 says they can take it whenever they want. Why would you even take the risk? I shouldn't have to go any further than this. In fact, I'm not going to. Call Noble Gold. Ask them the question. They can validate what I'm saying. Also, too, gold and silver, the two best investments out there right now. And Noble Gold has all kinds of special offerings. It's fantastic. They'll never pressure you. Never. I've been a customer for 8 years, so I can say this with good conscience. Anytime you do an investment, there can be a risk, courtesy of the federal government. They should be putting those signs over the doors of every single bank in America. But having said that, Noble Gold, 877-646-5347. Well, we're looking at Apple had an app that they sponsored in which they doxed, or they allowed, I want to be accurate on this, they allowed the doxing of ICE officials and their families. That means that children were endangered. Children were endangered. Wives were endangered. Elderly parents living with them were endangered. And the ICE agents themselves were endangered because Apple allowed this app to stay up and they just took it down after weeks. Are you kidding me? Excuse me. Pam Bondi, right now there needs to be a federal investigation and Apple officials need to be brought in under subpoena and questioned. What did you know and when did you know it and who allowed this to go through? It is illegal to do what I just said. Illegal. It's not ethical or immoral or bad judgment. It's a violation of the law. And I want to find out who was responsible. And then we need to hold these people feet to the fire. It's time for prosecution and perp walks. Now, I know there must be a manpower problem. Mr. President, I and millions of Americans will volunteer as long as this ends in persecutions, prosecutions, and confinement. Plain and simple. Am I pissed off? You're darn right I'm pissed off. Federal officials, law enforcement, and families, most of all, should not be endangered by these illegitimate actions by the corporate left. It's time. It's time to make them pay for their illegal actions. Please act now, Mr. President. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show.